Mr. Speaker, 3 years ago, the Prime Minister had this to say. The first priority of any government has got to be keeping UK PLC's credit rating. That's got to come first. It's the only responsible thing to do. Can the Prime Minister tell us, how's that going?
Well, first of all, isn't it amazing that the Leader of the Opposition won't condemn someone who apparently speaks up for terrorists? Isn't that absolutely disgraceful? Well, he'll have a second chance when he gets up again. Look, the decision of the ratings agency is a reminder of the debt and the deficit problem that this country faces, and frankly, it is a warning to anyone who thinks we can walk away from it. It is absolutely vital that we continue with the work of this government that has cut the deficit by a quarter, that has a million extra private sector jobs, and has interest rates at record low levels. And I note that it's still his policy to address excessive borrowing by borrowing more.
Mr. Speaker, I was asking about the country's credit rating, about the country's credit rating, and this is what he used to say about our credit rating, that it was a mark of trust in our economy, that it was right up front and centre in our new economic model. And his manifesto that he published at the general election said this: safeguarding Britain's credit rating was the very first of his, and I quote, benchmarks for Britain against which the British people can judge the economic success or failure of the next government. So does the Prime Minister accept that by the first test he set himself, he has failed?
If there is a problem of excessive borrowing, why is it his policy to borrow more? That is the question he simply has to answer. If he wants to listen to the credit rating agency, Moody's say this: Moody's could also downgrade the UK's government debt rating further in the event of reduced political commitment to fiscal consolidation. Now, on this side of the House, we know that is the vital work we have to do. Will he finally now admit that he's in favour of more borrowing? Admit it.
Speaker, you always know when he starts asking me questions that he can't answer questions about his own record. The part-time Chancellor said it would be a humiliation for Britain to lose its AAA credit rating. Now, Mr. Speaker, I know the Prime Minister is not big on humility, but his manifesto did promise he'd be accountable and open. So let's give him another go. Simple question: yes or no? Hasn't he failed the first economic test that he set out in this manifesto?
Look, I'm not arguing for one moment that the rating agency doesn't matter. That is his argument. Yes. His argument is the rating agency doesn't matter. The answer to debt is to borrow more and not to take any responsibility for the mess they left. It is this government that's cut the deficit by a quarter, that has a million private sector extra jobs and has low interest rates, which are vital for the future of this economy. And if he wants to see those economies that maintain their AAA rating, their countries like Canada and Germany that fixed the roof when the sun was shining. But let me ask him again, why doesn't he admit his answer to extra borrowing is to borrow more? Have another go, admit it.
Any time he wants to swap places, I'll happily answer the questions, Mr. Speaker. He talks about borrowing. I don't know when the last time he checked was. The deficit is rising, not falling this year. And he's borrowing £212 billion more than he planned because of his failure to grow the economy. Now, let's turn to the reasons for the downgrade. Can we take it from his answers so far that he really believes that this loss of the country's AAA status, which he set as the test, has nothing to do with him?
I'm the one saying this credit rating does matter, and it demonstrates we have to go further and faster on reducing the deficit. But the very fact he won't answer the question about wanting to borrow more, he will never sit on this side of the House when he won't answer the questions about what the country needs to know. fact, if he wants to look at what's happening in our economy, isn't it interesting that he doesn't mention the other economic news from last week, which is 154,000 extra people in work, more people in employment than any time in our history, youth unemployment down since the election, unemployment down since the election. That is what is happening in our economy, but he can't recognise it. When is he going to admit that we should never listen to someone who sold the gold, who bust the banks, who racked up the deficit and can't say sorry for any of it?
I think we can take it from that answer, Mr. Speaker, that he can't accept the simple fact that he has failed on the first test he set himself, and it's his fault. It's happened on his watch, Mr. Speaker. And borrowing is rising under him. Even after all the pain of the tax rises, all the spending cuts, borrowing is rising because the part-time Chancellor's plan is failing, Mr. Speaker. And the truth is that they are the last people left who think their plan is working and the failure is nothing to do with them. We've got a million young people. Oh, the Education Secretary calls out that's not true. Maybe he believes it too. But behind the scenes, he's briefing against the Chancellor, Mr. Speaker. We've got. Maybe they should swap places. We've got a million young people out of work. The deficit is rising, not falling. The economy is flatlining. What further evidence does he need that his plan just isn't working?
Yeah. Well, let's just examine the points he's just made. He says the deficit is up. The deficit is down by a quarter since the election. He says that we don't have support for our plan. The CBI, the biggest business organisation in the country, says we have the right plan for growth. He complains about the level of unemployment. It is down on the election and we have a record number of people in work. Those are the facts. Now let us look at his policy. Let's examine the fact that the New Statesman, the in-house magazine of the Labour Party, says this. His critique of the government strategy will never win back public trust. His proposals for the economy will never convince. His credibility problem will only become magnified as the general election approaches. That's not Conservative Central Office, that's the New Statesman.
Greatest of respect to the New Statesman, he's scraping the barrel, really, by quoting the New Statesman. All we've heard today
Mr. Zahawi, you are an excitable fellow. It's not very statesmanlike. Calm yourself. You'll get better over time. Mr. Ed Miliband.
All we've heard today is a Prime Minister who refuses to accept that he's failed on the central test he set himself. He's failed to meet the first test he set for himself. It's not just our credit rating that's been downgraded. We've got a downgraded government, a downgraded Chancellor and a downgraded Prime Minister.
He says that the New Statesman is scraping the barrel. It was the only newspaper that endorsed his leadership. I have to say. In this, Mr. Speaker, in this Oscar week, perhaps the best we can say is this. Daniel Day-Lewis was utterly convincing as Abraham Lincoln, and the Right Honourable Gentleman is utterly convincing as Gordon Brown. More borrowing, more spending, more debt. Yeah.